Good morning, a Monday morning.
We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok, and we see that the president has landed in Cuba. Crowds gathering to see the president speak yesterday, and we get this line from the Times this morning, Alan. Just hours before Air Force One arrived at the airport in Cuba, the challenges of working more closely with Cuba became apparent as police officers surrounded by pro-government demonstrators detained dozens of protesters at a weekly march of the Ladies in White, a prominent dissident group.
That's right, David. And the fact that it even exists in Cuba shows some progress, although they've been around for quite a while. And it has been made clear by the Cuban authorities that they are not going to a two-party system or a five-party system. They're going to stay with the old Soviet-style communist position. And for their part, they want the Yankees to get out of Guantanamo, which, of course, they consider to be their sovereign soil. The president will come with his agenda. He's coming with a plane full of CEOs who want to set up business in Cuba. And after all, money is often the bottom line. And Obama himself, after arriving, was mobbed by people who really have great love and respect for him and, by the way, for the United States. So it's a complicated situation. Raul Castro, of all people, he used to show up in army fatigues. Now he's in a business suit, clean shaven. So you can see a certain kind of coming together of the people's natural needs. After all, once the Soviets and the Russians got out of Cuba, they were really left to their own devices and having to figure out what to do. There are people who feel very passionate about both sides of this thing, and I've talked to so many of them.
Now to the presidential campaign, and this from the New York Times. Republican leaders adamantly opposed to Donald Trump's candidacy are preparing a 100-day campaign to deny him the presidential nomination, starting with an aggressive battle in Wisconsin's April 5th primary and extending into the summer with a delegate-by-delegate lobbying effort that would cast Mr. Trump as a calamitous choice for the general election.
David, to me, the issue here is, are they so committed to getting rid of Trump that they'll change the rules? In other words, you need, 1,200-something to get to be the nominee. Suppose they make it 1,400. You know, they can do that by acclamation. And he seems to believe that that's what they're going to try to do. And he says, oh, you can't do that, you'll get riots. They, on their own part, say, well, that's a call to violence, which we have seen from Mr. Trump before. There are those people who truly believe that Trump is so dangerous that any action justifies, you know, the end. Look, there are people who go back to the 1920s and 30s with Hitler and say, hey, if you'd stopped them in time, the Second World War killing all of those people wouldn't have happened. Now, are they the same people? No. Is it possible that Trump could be a president? Yes. There are many Democrats who believe that the Democrats are a lot better off with Cruz as the presidential candidate because he is not attractive to the American middle class, whereas Trump certainly has shown his ability to get disaffected Democrats, so-called Reagan Democrats, people who don't have college educations. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Some of the brightest people I know don't have college educations, but that's the demographic we keep hearing. So could Trump be president? Yes, he could. And there will be people listening right now say, no, he couldn't, Alan, no, he couldn't. Yeah, he could. And if you don't understand what a dangerous situation this is, the Republicans talk about circular firing squads. You don't get Trump, you'll probably get Cruz. If you don't get Cruz, you get somebody like Mitt Romney who comes in and says, okay, I can bring it all together. And he's a loser already. We know that.
Trump is set to address AIPAC today, Alan, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, and as the Times puts it, his disregard for the sensitivities of religious and ethnic groups has hit a nerve among Jewish organizations, and it may be his toughest sell yet.
Well, it's an interesting concept. Most of my students never realize this. I used to go around the room and say, what percentage of Americans are Jewish? And some kids would say 50% or 25%. No, it's actually 2% or a little above 2%. But like every other group, there's influence among some Jewish Americans. And Trump has always seen himself as a supporter of Israel. On the other hand, he said he had to be neutral as president between the Arabs and the Israelis. Well, Jewish communities didn't like that one bit because America and Israel have always been very strong allies. So here he's going to AIPAC to reassure everybody that, you know, after all, he is a quintessential New Yorker. And he at one point said that even though he's not Jewish, people thought he was, and therefore they were being anti-Semitic when they opposed him.